contrary to policy. Is that readable? With the lights off. That's okay. I can make it a little bigger too. It's much better if it's green on black or yellow on black, but at the moment I can't find where they've hidden the colors, so I won't waste time on that. But I do want to do some stuff on there, so. Okay. Big mistake. Never use Windows NT. Some interesting Z codes. Trust me, they work. Let's compile them. I'll watch it'll work and I'll be embarrassed. It's supposed to break. Fast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. And we get this funky error message, which says, CC, prime.c, line 12, error 1705. Function prototypes are an ANSI feature. And several people have sent me messages, and several people have seen this in the labs. And what the hell is it saying? Anybody have a guess? It's actually telling you something.
You guess something.
That wasn't much of a guess. R an ANSI feature. And I keep talking about how C is this family of languages, and there's traditional C and ANSI C and Objective C and all these different things called C. This compiler is telling you that it is not an ANSI C compiler. It turns out that on a lot of the Kane, not all, but a lot of the Kane Hewlett-Packard workstations, the default compiler is not an ANSI C compiler. Means you're handed our codes, which are written in ANSI C, and it gives you little error messages. This is a common problem. The Visual Studio will give you some of the same problems. If it thinks your code is something other than ANSI C, it sometimes tries to guess, it'll give you mysterious error messages. Your code will be perfect, and it will be yelling at you that it's not right. A lot of compilers have that problem. There are all these different, slightly different versions of things, and the people who wrote this compiler or the people who installed it by default didn't think you would want to write ANSI C. They're fools, because no one should use anything other than ANSI C anymore. But no matter. It can be fixed. this compiler, you can tell it to use ANCC with this little minus capital A, little a thingy called a flag. Okay. That's true of all the compilers you deal with. You may get on a Sun sometime. Sun is pretty, the Sun workstations are pretty standard to get the ANCC compiler. But you may get on a Sun workstation and run your code and it gives you an error message and you're sure there's no error. Okay? Sun's just 2 years ago by default wouldn't compile ANCC. You had to tell them specially, compile ANCC for them. So the point is these slight differences among versions of the language do impact us in a practical way. The various compilers make different assumptions about what you want it to do. They're very presumptuous. Okay. So I wanted to address that since some of you have experienced it. Now we'll turn the lights back on and talk about loops. Okay, so this is what I want to talk about today, loops. We talked about loops a little bit when we talked about just algorithms in general. Without looking at computer code, we talked about algorithms. We talked about the idea of writing down steps of instructions which will then be executed by a machine, carried out by a machine to solve some interesting problem. And we mentioned sometimes you want a loop. You want to repeat something over and over, subject to some control. So these are used to repeat a set of instructions. Over and over. And we'll sort of call out three particular kinds of loop. And I'll list them now, and then we'll describe them in a bit of detail. There's something called a while loop. And by the way, you'll find words in, I'm going to use words, while, do while, for. You'll find these words in C. But I'm not talking about C. I'm talking about algorithms in general. Okay, the while loop is a fairly standard construct in developing algorithms, as is something called a for loop, as is something called a do while. The names vary a little bit, but the ideas of what they do are the same. What the while loop lets us do is execute a bunch of code over and over as long as some condition is true. So it executes some code over and over. As long as some condition is true. At the top of the loop. Okay? And I'll fill in what that means a little bit in a minute. What's a condition? Well, we already know what conditions are. We've seen conditions when talking about branching constructs. If x is less than y, that's a condition. Do while. This is exactly the same as a while loop, except the condition is checked at the bottom of the loop. So it executes some code over and over. As long as the condition is true. At the bottom of the loop. It's basically the only way they differ. One of them is checking something at the top, and I'll show you what top means, but it's the top of the loop. The other is checking at the bottom. Is it the bottom of the loop? Then there's a thing frequently called a for loop or a counting loop. And what the for loop does is it repeats a chunk of code over and over a specified number of times. This does not exhaust all the different kinds of loops there are, because everybody comes along and says, oh, you know, I organize my loops this way all the time. I think I'll sort of make that a new structure. For example, when we look at MATLAB, MATLAB has something called a for loop, but it's really like what most languages call a for each loop. But we'll see that in the fullness of time. For the moment, if I can say that, for the moment, think about for loops as loops that simply repeat something a specified number of times. Let's look at a while loop. Here's what while loops look like. Not what C while loops look like, just what the idea of a while loop looks like. We have some condition. And while it's true, I execute some block of code called the loop 5. We loosely refer to this as the top of the loop, sort of right above the loop body, and this is the bottom of the loop. What this thing does is, I come into this loop. This is a step to execute. This is a task to do. I check some condition, and that can depend on quantities that I've just calculated. This condition isn't determined a priori. It's determined as the program runs. I come into this loop, I check the condition. If it's true, I do this work, whatever it is. And I come down to the bottom of the loop. I come back to the top of the loop, and I check the condition again. And if it's true, I do this work. I get to the bottom of the loop, I come back to the top, and I check this condition again. And if it's true, I do this. So I keep doing this over and over until eventually I do this, I come to the bottom of the loop, come back up here, and the condition is false. Then I don't do this, I'm just done with this whole construct, and I go on to whatever my next instruction is in my algorithm. So I keep executing this loop body as long as the condition is true at the top of the loop. It doesn't matter if the condition becomes false in the middle of the loop. I only check it at the top. That sometimes leads to some confusion. Only checked right here at the top. Doesn't matter what it does in the middle. Such a beast easily leads to the dreaded endless loop. I could very easily have some condition like, while 1 is equal to 1, do this. Then I just do this forever. Because 1 is never not equal to 1. So if my condition is always true, I just stay here forever. My program never exits. In the old days, that sucked up your CPU allocation and you crashed and burned and it was real money. These days, your computer just sits there and people loosely say things like, it's locked up. Well, it's not locked up, it's just doing that over and over. Computers love to do things over and over. So I'll put a little arrow here to sort of saying those semantics again. This body is executed over and over. Until the condition is false at the top. I don't know what word that is, but it's interesting. If that condition is always true, this loop runs forever. A condition that's always true is, for example, 1 equals 1, or lots of others. It's very easy to trap yourself. You have to watch for that very carefully. The loop will run forever. Unless, maybe I can have an escape hatch. A very useful thing to have in loops, and something that most languages provide, is a way to jump out of the middle of this loop. And this is called breaking out of the loop. So we break out of the middle of the loop. Frequently, we want to write code that does that. I'll show you a sample of a code that does that. So the general picture is, I do this as long as this condition is true, but I might have an escape hatch in here in the middle someplace. Or I might want to say, boy, things are all bollocks stuff. Let's quit this. It's not working. I might have some way to jump out. We'll see in C, there's a statement called break that does exactly that. Let's write an algorithm with a while loop. I'm going to write an algorithm to check primeness of a number. Is primeness a word? Well, I guess it is a word, because it's being tape recorded and it'll be put out in this big compendium and everything. So primeness is now a word. It's my word, so I can spell it any way I damn well please. I'm going to have a number. I'm going to call it, let me be consistent here. I have a number. I'm going to call it num. Ooh, how original. I'm going to check the primeness of num. Sounds like the title of a science fiction novel. How am I going to do this? I'm going to write an algorithm to do this. I'm going to first deal with the special case. If num is 1, it's prime. And I'll be done, and I'll stop. If num is not 1, I'm going to do something else down here. So otherwise, num is not 1. What I'm going to do, it's not the slickest thing to do when testing for primeness, but it works and it will illustrate the idea. I'm just going to take every possible divisor from num minus 1, num minus 2, all the way down to 1. I'm going to call these d, and I'm going to see if I can divide this number by that divisor. If I can divide num by a divisor, and that divisor is not 1, then the number is not prime because I just divided it by 1. So let me set this up. D will be my divisor. I'll let it start at num minus 1. I don't want to check num because I know num is divisible by num. So I'll start 1 less, and then I'll do a while loop. While num is not divided by d. Okay, so there's my condition. While the number is not divisible by my divisor, check the next divisor. And I simply do that by saying go down by 1. So I'll come in here. Let's give an example. Say num is 10. I'll come in here. I'll say my first divisor is 9. Is 10 divisible by 9? No. So num is not divisible by 9. So do this. Go on down to the next divisor, 8. Okay? Is 10 divisible by 8? No. Go on down. Eventually, it'll have counted down to, is 10 divisible by 5? You betcha. So I'll come in, I'll set d to 5, come to the top of the loop, and I'll check this condition. Is 10 divisible by 5? Yes. Okay? So the condition's not true, and I'm not divisible by d, and I'll fall out of the loop. I'll be done. Once I'm done, I just want to find out what d is. If d is 1, let me not write it that way. Let's confuse with C syntax. Then num was prime. Otherwise, it's not. If D is not 1, then D is bigger than 1, and it's not prime. Oh, I'll squeeze it in here. Otherwise, not prime. The reason I'm guaranteed that this loop will finish is I know everything's divisible by 1. Eventually, this divisor will be 1. We'll walk all the way down to 1, and I'll get out of this loop because num is divisible by 1. So I don't have any concern about the end of this loop. And when I'm done, I actually have 2 interesting pieces of information. I know if this num is prime or not, and I actually know its largest divisor. Because I fall out of this loop as soon as I find a divisor of num. So let's look at a lovely C code to do that. Okay, here's some C code to do this. Now I've gone from my algorithm to C code, and that means I have to deal with all of the annoying details you have to deal with when you write real code. So I have to include header files like scdio.h, I have to declare a main function, I have to do all this garbage, which only exists for the computer and not for my algorithm. I print out using printf. I ask the code to the code asks for a positive number. Uses scanf to get that number. Scanf percent odd, ampersand num, so read in a number right there. If the number is negative or zero, code stops, okay? That's sort of all just details of getting information in. Here's where the real algorithm starts. There's the special case. If 1 equals num, print out that it's prime, and we're done. Here's the rest of it. Oh, look, I don't have a laser, but I have a red crayon. Initialize the divisors. First set j to num minus 1. And then here's the while loop. This is C's version of the while loop. This is how you express the while loop in C. While parens condition, then a block of code between an opening bracket and a closing bracket. Inside that is the loop body, which is just d equals d minus 1. The condition says num percent d not equal to 0. Well, num percent d, that's the divisor of number num divided by d. If that's 0, they divided each other, and I want to stop. If that's not 0, there's a remainder. D num is not divisible by d, and I keep going. Once I'm done, I have this if that I have down here. If d is bigger than 1, printf such and such is not prime. And I actually also print out d because it's the largest divisor of that number. So that's interesting. If d is equal to 1, then I'm in the else clause down here, and I print out that the number is prime. Visual Studio, you've got the command line version of Visual Studio, which you called CL. Showed you CC at the beginning of the class on some of the machines. My compiler was called EGCS, which is pronounced eggs. The guy in the back of the room won't like that. There are lots of C compilers. They're all made by different people, but they all do the same thing. Okay, I've compiled my program. I can run it. It asks for a positive integer. I give it minus 2, so it doesn't do anything. It looked, and it saw I gave it minus 2, and it didn't refuse to check its primeness. Let's give it an interesting number, 23. Checks if it's prime. It says it is prime. Okay, will everybody do that? But how about 1,203? Well, it's not prime. It's divisible by 401, as everyone could immediately see. Okay, so the point is the code works. It does what I say. I don't know that it works because I ran it on a couple of cases and it came out right. I know that it works because I've looked at this algorithm and I've thought about it. And I'm sure that that algorithm will find primes. I don't care how many times I run a test through this code, I'll never be sure. But if I look at that algorithm carefully, I can be sure about it. And it's a nice use of a while loop. So once again, I had a piece of code, not a complicated piece of code in this case, but it could be as complicated as you want. I could put anything in there. Piece of code that I wanted to be executed as long as the condition was true. Let me show you another code with a much more complicated thing inside this while loop. Okay? And I'm really excited by prime numbers today, so I'm going to show you another prime number code. This one I think you should. The code I just showed you, it asks for a number, you give it the number, it checks if it's prime. If it's prime, it says yes. If it's not prime, it says no, and then it ends. Well, maybe I'd like to check a lot of numbers for primeness. What I would like to do then is write a code that looks like this. Thank you. By the way, I do not get any money for these shameless advertisements. Sorry about that. Sorry that I don't get money, and sorry that I'm exposing you to shameless advertisements. Here's the way this coat is going to look. Now, this code, in some sense, is less pure as an algorithm, because really what I want to deal with is some issues of interacting with the person. I want to write a code that looks like this. I want this one to keep asking for input until the human running the thing inputs garbage. So I'm going to write a code that looks like this now. Get num from the human. It's an interesting phrase. While num is positive, check to see if it's prime. Let me actually number the steps inside here just so you can see them distinctly. And then, after you've done that, get another number. Got another num from the human, and it checks if it's positive or not. If it is, checks if it's prime, and asks for another number, and just keeps going. What makes this loop stop? The human types in something that's not positive or else is gibberish. So we get out of this loop when the number that comes in from the human is not positive. Now, this is a few lines of C code involving some scanfs and printfs. I didn't write them out in detail here because I don't care about those details when I'm thinking about my algorithm. Same with this. These are pretty much the same lines. This is interesting. What goes here? That. Right there. The whole thing. Essentially as is. Now, I'm not going to write it in here, because that would obscure this. If I had all that detail written right here, it would be hard for me to look at this and be sure it's right. Now, it's not too bad. It's not really very important. But here is a task all of its own, and I really don't need to think about how this task occurs while I'm describing this task. I just need to know somehow I need a way to check if a number is prime or not. I want to think that way. I want to separate problems that can be separated. The human mind is finite, and I can't think about everything at once. Neither can you. Let's plunge ourselves into darkness once again. And look at this new code called Prime Loop. Or Prime Loops or something. Standard garbage, includes standard I.O., start main somehow, declare some variables, num and d. Then, printf, input a positive integer, negative to quit, in large red letters. It scans that in. Now notice what I'm doing. This is a C detail, not an algorithm detail, but it's an important one. Scanf, percent I, address of num. So I ask the machine to read input from the keyboard and try and interpret it as an integer. If it succeeds, scanf will return 1. So I can check, did scanf equal 1 or not? If it did, I'm okay, but if it didn't, the user typed gobbledygook. Okay? What I do in that case right here is I set num to minus 1, because that will force the rest of the code to quit. So I check whether scanf worked or not. That's pretty important when a human is typing input into the machine, because humans sometimes make mistakes. Then, below that, here's this big while loop. It's this loop. It's just this loop. While num is bigger than 0. Now, I threw in some bells and whistles, print out some information and stuff, but it's really just this loop. While num is bigger than 0. And then, all of a sudden, we see this task. Check if the number is prime or not. And it looks exactly like this. Check the special case of num equals 1. Set d to num minus 1. Do this while loop. While num percent d is not 0. Reduce d by 1 through that loop. When I fall out of the bottom of that loop, I know if the number is prime or not, and I print out that answer. So I've literally cut and pasted the C code that I wrote for this and stuck it right into this step. Once I know if the number is prime or not, it's time to get a new number. If 1 is not equal to scanf, then scanf tries to get a number from the keyboard. If scanf succeeds, it returns 1 because it read 1 number. Nothing happens here. I'm at the end of the outer while loop. I go back up, make sure the number that came in is positive, find out if it's prime, get another number, end of the outer while loop, go on up, check the number is positive, and so on. On the other hand, if scanf fails here, because somehow someone typed gobbledygook, I execute a statement called break. I said we could have an escape, a little escape hatch from inside a loop, and here's an example of it. That's why I wrote it this way, just to show an example of break. If scanf didn't get a good number, we should just quit. What this break does is jump out of the enclosing while. So it jumps out of this loop, and we're done. We execute the statements that follow, which just print quitting and finish up. A couple of things. One, I have a while loop inside a while loop. I can have while loops inside while loops inside while loops. I can put loops inside each other. That's frequently very useful. For a lot of things we do, it is crucial. You can't do a lot of very interesting things without putting loops inside loops. All I've done here is put this loop inside that loop. Second was the fact that once I had this, I made sure it worked. I knew it worked. I could pretty much chuck it right in here. And I knew that any errors I had with this code would be due to this other stuff, not this. I trusted this step. This step was right. Oh, let me run that code. So let me once again plunges into darkness. Because I especially want to show you what happens when I input garbage. What I'm talking about. Okay, input a positive integer, right? 23 is good. Says it, is it prime? It checks. Okay, it did this. It did this. It did this. It told me that it's prime, and now it's down here. And I give it another number. 127. Boy, I'm good at picking primes, aren't I? It got a number, went up to the top. The number was positive, so it checked if it's prime or not. And told me. Now it's sitting down here again, waiting for another number. 123. It's not prime. I input 123. We went up here. It's positive. It checks if it's prime or not. it says, "123 is not prime, it's divisible by 41. Now, if I put in, say, minus 23, it quits. Okay? Because it's set up the following way. It just read minus 23. It went up here, asked, is minus 23 positive? No. So don't do the loop body, just jump down. We're done with this step. Do whatever comes next. Run it again. Here is about 10,034. Darn. Not prime. Asking for a positive integer. Now, what prevents me from typing this? AWF semicolon OIDS. Okay, which I type all the time. Nothing prevents me from typing that. And nothing prevents that from getting sucked into this step right here. Get num from human. That's done with that scanf. But the scanf easily looks at AWF semicolon OIDS and says, you are not a number. And so that scanf does not return one. It did not read a number. And I hit that break statement. I jump out of this loop right here and go on to the next step. Okay? Very important to check the return from that scanf. If I hadn't checked the return from that scanf, this code would actually enter an infinite loop and run forever. I'd lose all control. Okay? Yeah?
What if you write the 107 ABC principle?
Tell me what you want.
107 ABC.
107 ABC. That's actually a good question. What's it going to do? No, it's not going to quit. It's going to find this number. It's going to ignore this junk. But when scanf starts looking for a number, I told it to look for a number, it just looks for digits until it sees something that's not a digit. And then it says, okay, that was the number, and it'll ignore this. It'll do 107. Okay.
What if it was 108.7?
I'm sorry?
108.7.
Hang on that one, because it did something interesting. Okay, I told you it would do 107, and it did. 107 is prime. And then it said input a positive integer. Where was it? It was right here. And then suddenly it quit. I didn't type anything. Watch that again. 107 ABC. I will hit enter once. It'll tell you 107 is prime and quit. What did it do? Well, it saw the digits, 107. Then it saw something that wasn't a digit. So it took 107 as a number. Everything was cool. Then it went back to read more information. Well, that ABC doesn't disappear. That ABC was sitting there, waiting to be read in. It started trying to read a number, immediately got A, and it said, this isn't a number. I can't read a number. And stops. Sorry, yours was
1087.
10, capital A, 7. Any predictions? 10 is not prime and stop. Because it's going to read this number. So it just looks at this. Oh, that's a digit. Cool. That's a digit. Cool. That's not a digit. That must be the number, 10. Then that A doesn't go away. It's still sitting there waiting to be read. So right here I read 10. Positive, I checked if it's prime, it's not. Right here, I then try and get more input, and it actually reads that A. It says, this is not a number. Okay? Yep.
Can we go back to the C code that you wrote?
Sure.
I don't quite understand how this works.
We need two of these, that's what we need. Here's the deal. Some of this is detail I'm going to give you a little detail that we're going to talk about again later, because some of this is detail about the way C, ANSI C, is structured to treat data coming in. We have this scanf. Oops, I turned the lights up too bright and you can't see. Sorry. Let's try this. Is that readable? The idea behind these lights was we could use the blackboard on the edges and still read that. I don't know if it works. The code comes to this point, scan at percentile addresses number. What that makes it do is it starts reading every key I press. Okay, like 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Scanf has been told, because I told it, look for a number. Look for an integer. Well, that's part of an integer, that's part of an integer, that's part of an integer. This is not. So it stops reading data after it's read that, and it's got 123. But I press those keys. That data is still sitting there, waiting to go into the code. It has to do with the way C actually is structured to treat data coming in. It just has these characters flying in at it. Okay, so it knew to stop reading the number because it saw an A, but it's still waiting because maybe the next thing you're going to do is ask for a character, ask for a letter. In this code, the next thing we do is we go around the loop and we hit this again. So I've told it to look for an integer. The next thing coming in is the A that I already typed. And nothing is forgotten, nothing is thrown away. It reads the A, and it says, that's not the start of an integer. I'm being given garbage. So scanf fails. It reads nothing. It does not put any information in the place where this variable stores its bit pattern. Doesn't read anything, doesn't put anything there. Instead, this function returns a value of zero. I really should check that, but it doesn't return one. That's the equivalent. It's either zero or minus one, I forget.
What if you type space between one of those?
Hang on a second. So the point is that scanf returns a value, and this whole bit of text right here, scanf, double quote, percent I, comma, ampersand, num, close parens, that whole thing evaluates to zero, because it didn't read anything. 1 is not equal to 0. That's a true statement, so I get out. Something bad happened. You may need to go and actually play with this code and look at it a little to see this. Let me answer this guy's question. I was just asked, what if I do this? 123 space, ABC. Any predictions? Silence. What? Put in another? Oh, after the space? Oh, okay. That's good. 7 space 5. Tells me they're both prime. Okay? It read the 7. It saw the space. It knows that's not part of a number, so it got 7. It came around the loop, tried to read another number. The 5 was already sitting there. There's actually nothing very magical about pressing that return key. There's a hand up over here. What? All right, one last test for those who want to stay. How about 10.2? It gets the 10. It sees the period. The period is not part of an integer. It stops scanning the 10. Got the 10, comes around again, trying to read an integer, it sees a period. Period is not part of an integer, it quits.